During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Welcome back to hour number two of this Cinco de Mayo version of Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB, May 5th, 2019. Who is this, Chris?
This is Pete Rock and CL Smooth.
All right.
It's kind of what we roll with on Bullet Bites under the
That's
what
right.
is about to come. So all right. It's about to be fun time, Brad. Are you ready for some we'll see what you think of some of these bites. I mean, there's some good stuff in here. Good stuff. So we didn't have a Sunday show last week, so
right.
I didn't get to. There were some things from the previous week that I liked, maybe one or two things, but the first thing I would like to get to is I think it was in the Tampa series, I think 2 weeks ago when they were on the road.
Okay.
And it
not
comes
good
from
for the Royals.
Yeah, and it comes from the one and only Rex Hudler.
Okay.
Look, it's almost like kissing your sister going home on an even road trip, but still, the sister, it's not bad looking. We're going back to the cave.
It's just
Rex.
Another, you know, classic Rexism, I would say. I guess we can put it, because I feel like I could build a folder with just how many, you know, odd things that Rex Hudler says throughout a broadcast. And the thing is, LeFever is making fun of him most of the time sometimes, and he doesn't even notice.
No.
He doesn't recognize it.
He's the victim and doesn't know it. He called the moon a planet one time. I mean, you could stack them up one after another, but that one creeped me out. I got to admit, I feel creepy after that. I feel like I need to.
He probably
take a
thought that was some baseball lingo. Like that's what they used to say in the clubhouse back in the '80s when he was playing. Like,
look, the term "kissing your sister." I know that. That's a common phrase, but to say, but
she's good looking.
But she's not that bad looking. Oh, that creeped me out. Oh, I'm definitely gonna need
sip some water after that. Maybe some mouthwash. Get that out of your system.
Yeah, Rex, you hurt me, friend.
So we continue with.
I don't know how you're gonna beat that one, Chris.
I don't.
You kind of led with your top one there.
But I had to, because it was from two. It was something that had to get out there. We had to start off on a good note. Rex Hudler.
So
I mean,
bad.
I don't know if we're ever going to beat Irish Lullaby from yesterday.
No.
That was incredible.
Yep.
But we come more of a serious note on more of a sports hitting topic here.
Okay.
Jake Odorizzi.
Okay.
Former Royal.
Yeah.
The Twins just played the Yankees, and of course, CC Sabathia just had his 3,000th strikeout. Let's see what he thinks about that.
I do. I mean, he's the third lefty that's ever got 3,000 strikeouts, so I think that's pretty special in the way he's been able to do it, changing his career of being a power pitcher to location movement. I think he's a surefire Hall of Famer. I really enjoyed watching him pitch a lot of the times we played him in his
final
right.
So do you think CC Sabathia, Brad, is a surefire? Surefire. You know, that a sure thing Hall of Famer.
Yeah, 100%.
With that three, even though he's not probably going to be close to 300 wins.
That 300 wins is out the window.
Yeah,
no one's gonna get that.
I don't know if that's something that's hotly debated.
Yeah, 300 wins to me is no longer the benchmark for the Hall of Fame. But you get 3,000 strikeouts and you pitched as long as he has, the longevity, the success he's had in the postseason. Yeah, CC Sabathia, 100% Hall of Famer, no doubt.
All right, we move to Miami.
Okay,
I guess because that's where Mr. Marco Rubio is. I believe, because he's a senator.
Senator from,
Florida. From Florida.
Okay.
He had something to say about the newest quarterback of the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
That's a good deal, man. We got him for 62 in this draft, and he's cheap, $2 million a year or so, about $6 million over three. And if it works out, great, and if he doesn't, we'll have to draft someone next.
Yeah,
well, he's
know,
the most
man.
Talented passer we've had on the roster since Marino, but he's got to be able to play. But you know, he's going to get a chance.
Do you think he's going to end the suffering for you guys?
I hope so, man. We'll find out. That's why they play the games.
Are you surprised of how much Marco Rubio knows about football?
No, he seems like a guy that's big into sports, I guess.
Do you think Josh Rosen is the savior, as he would say, the best since Marino?
I'd have
the
you
Dolphins
know what?
Marino
have
had.
Marino was a long time ago, so I'd have to look at the list, but a number 10 overall pick in terms of expectations, I guess. I hope he's better than Tannehill. Tannehill can't stay healthy, and he's been just okay. And by the way, Josh Rosen has handled this thing as well as anybody can. When you're a first-round pick 1 year and get traded the next because they took another quarterback, and he did you see the video he posted?
Yeah, because everyone has this, idea about Rosen of what
he's,
you know,
he's
that
not
his personality,
a good guy. He's a bad teammate.
His personality sucks.
Right.
He's arrogant and whatnot. And sure, there were things that he has said. I think that's just who he is. I think he's just a confident person, and
right.
He is actually
he should be.
He is a smart guy. I think he is intuitive. But I think he got a bad rap, and I mean everything that he had to deal with from being the franchise, starting quarterback 1 year ago,
right?
From like on that same night,
right.
To going to being traded to a, I mean, it's good for him though, a new start. I mean, that offensive line for the Cardinals,
awful, brutal,
and just the pieces around him. I mean, yeah, you have Larry Fitzgerald, but
at the end of his career.
At the end of his career, I mean, it's not great. So
I love the video he posted after he got traded. He said, "Well, I'm changing my address. I'm moving to South Beach to thank the Cardinals fans." He wished Kyler Murray nothing but the best. And he said, "Kyler, if you're looking for a 2-bedroom apartment in a nice place in downtown Phoenix, I know where one might be available." I thought it was funny. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I agree completely. We're going to stick with the NFL here.
Okay.
And Mr. Tom Brady is on Jimmy Kimmel. Let's hear it. I know that's hard for people to hear. Let's see what he has to say on Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay.
One of the things I admire about you, I mean, obviously you're a great player and all that stuff, but as a teammate, you should be the highest paid player in football, but you're not the highest paid player because you don't demand that. I think you're like 18th or 20th.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you be the highest paid guy?
That's a good question.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's usually when I want to answer a question, I always say like, that's a good question. But I think the thing I've always felt for me in my life, winning has been a priority, and my wife makes a lot of money, so.
I see. Oh, good. That's good. That works out well.
I'm a little smarter than you think. It's a salary cap. Everyone, you can only spend so much, and the more that, one guy gets is less for others. And I think for a competitive advantage standpoint, I'd like to, get a lot of good players around
me. I hope the Patriots appreciate that you do that. I really
do.
Yeah.
They do.
I know the fans do.
They do.
I'm sure your teammates do.
Yeah, so, this has been highly talked about before, about Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife making a lot more money than him.
Giselle Bundchen makes like $70 million a year.
Yeah, so, and it just is kind of...
For looking good,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I guess. And she probably has clothing lines and
clothing,
whatnot.
Clothing, perfumes.
Whatnot. But like, I think it's interesting just because, we're going to have to pay, or not weird, the Chiefs are going to have to pay, Patrick Mahomes here in a couple of years. But Tom Brady over his career has been able to take pay cuts because of, having a wife that makes a lot more money than him.
There's also... I think Tom Brady's company gets a consulting fee from the Patriots, a way to subvert the cap a little bit. And I am still in the belief. This is just what I believe. I'm not saying this is a fact. Don't sue me over this. I firmly believe that there's a bank account in either the Cayman Islands
or
in Switzerland. Somewhere there's a doggy bag full of cash just waiting for Tom Brady when he retires.
Pablo Escobar style.
Right. Or he's going to get a percentage of the Patriots when he retires. This will all come back. Tom Brady ain't poor. Neither is his wife.
No, neither of them are. They're doing quite fine for themselves.
I think he could survive on his $16 or $18 million a year just fine.
So,
all right. We moved to
boxing, actually.
Like the boxing? The pugilists?
It's not actually about actual boxers, but it has something to do with, boxing and stars being... around it.
Okay.
And it's actually Kevin Hart. I don't know if he is a big boxer.
Yeah.
He's a big boxer, and he fought a very highly touted poker player, which poker is a sport, Brad. Don't say it's not. It is a sport. It's on ESPN.
I've watched it.
It's on ESPN. Antonio Esfandiera, or Indieri.
I know who he is.
Yeah.
Antonio Esfandiera.
Yeah. And so this is what he had to say about Kevin Hart's boxing.
Okay.
That Kevin is an animal. I mean, the guy is superhuman. He doesn't need sleep. He can drink. He can function at another level. And this was obviously of a major concern to me because he's such a beast. He runs marathons in his sleep. We play cards and he's making an appointment to go work out at 6 a.m. and it's, 1:30 in the morning. I'm thinking to myself, how can this guy be thinking about going to work out in 4.5 hours? And we're not even done playing. I mean, it was like, the guy's superhuman. He throws an incredible right hook. But fortunately for me, I'm taller, and I practiced for months stepping back when that hook was coming. Fortunately for me, Kevin didn't really land one of his nasty right hooks, because had he landed just one of them, I was going down. I mean, I don't think I would have taken one of those punches very well.
Yeah, so Brad, do you think you could take Kevin Hart in the ring? You got size, you got the height, you got the advantage, you got the reach, Brad.
No, I have never been in a boxing ring. There is no way in hell I would have a chance against any of those guys. If I trained for, 5 years, maybe I could last a round or two. I had this argument at the old place where I used to work. There was a female boxer here in town, Mary Ortega. She was one of the top women boxers in the country. She came over, she did our TV show. Nice as can be, but man, is she in the boxing ring, she's a beast.
Was she scary?
I would be scared of her in the ring. And one of my coworkers, another guy who left many years ago, said, yeah, I could take her. And I said, what? He goes, yeah, I mean, she's 5'6", 5'7", I could take her. And I said to this person, I won't say his name, I said, you could train for 5 years and she would still whip your ass. She does this for 8 to 10 hours a day. She punches bags. She punches people. She's a trained, I don't want to say a trained killer. That's not the right word. She's trained to destroy.
To use her hands to beat people up.
She's trained to destroy other human beings. You wouldn't last 20 seconds.
What I would have said to that guy is, I would have liked to see your stamina after the third round.
Or you
even,
make
even
it.
If you lasted
you
to the third round.
At the time, I said, you know what? She'd whip my ass. I'm taller, got more reach, whatever. She trains to do this. You do not. You're not going to win. I would have loved to seen that for like a charity match, though.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Get his ass kicked.
That would have been awesome. All right, we stick with fighting. Conan O'Brien had something to say about possibly fighting Conor McGregor for UFC shares.
I will fight him for his, if he can take me in the octagon.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'd have to look at the paperwork.
Okay.
I'm all about the paperwork.
Right.
If the paperwork works out.
I love it.
Talk about it.
I would love to see Conan O'Brien in the octagon.
I give it 3 seconds.
And how long do you think Conan O'Brien would last?
3 seconds, max.
In the octagon with
three
Conor McGregor?
3 seconds, max. It'd be one.
You think 3 seconds?
Whatever time it takes to...
It's like a three-minute round, I think, in UFC.
Whatever time it takes to walk from one side of the ring to the other for Conor McGregor to get a hand on you, that's how long it would be over immediately. And for me, it would never happen because I would jump over the fence and run.
Yeah? You don't,
I'm not... No.
No, not happening.
Nope.
But, okay, we move on to some NBA stuff in Big Three. Are you familiar with the Big Three?
Yes.
And Lamar Odom is trying to make a resurgence in the Big Three this year. This is what he had to say about who should be the Lakers' new head coach.
I think Juwan Howard would be a good candidate.
Really?
Because he was with LeBron in Miami.
And he's not like everyone keeps talking highly of Ty Lue.
Yeah.
I mean they have that history, and that's great. But really, Juwan Howard, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Somebody that has some presence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That can handle that. Can handle having LeBron.
I like
on
that
team.
So I'm definitely not consulting Lamar Odom about who a coach should be, because that was probably the worst answer I've ever. It was nothing. I think he can handle the situation. What?
If
you know what that situation is like in LA? Like, it is a horrible situation. There's a ton of coaches you don't want to even get near that.
Why are people looking for excuses to not give the job to Tyronn Lue? Everybody's got an idea. Well, I like Tyronn, but there's always a but. Tyronn Lue played in the league, 11, 12 years? Coached LeBron in Cleveland? Got the credential, won a
championship? From what I've heard, Ty Lue is actually a guy that can challenge LeBron, and LeBron will actually listen to him.
Yes. Juwan Howard.
Juwan Howard, yeah.
Do you know what a grind
it is? I haven't heard that name
is?
In forever.
No.
I know he's like an assistant right now, I think, for the Heat, I believe. But... He has no head coaching experience.
No, and the Lakers ain't the place to get your start.
That would be just axe straight to your heart after having to deal with that.
Having the Lakers as your first job is not, no.
All right, we continue. Lamar Odom, as I said, looking to be in the big three.
Sticking
and
with
this
LeBron?
Is, yeah, so
sticking
this,
with Lamar
Odom, he had some big things to say about what he thinks he can do, and what awards he should be given if he does succeed in the Big Three.
Hopefully, when I finish the Big Three, hopefully I get nominated for ESPY.
Oh, man.
For real. Comeback athlete of the year.
So, comeback athlete of the year, Lamar Odom. How does that sound, Brad, to you for SB? Does that sound like a good choice?
That sounds like one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard. I mean, we know Lamar Odom has had his troubles in the past,
right? I mean,
right?
This is a guy
who's recovering from
a crack addiction. So,
does this guy have a coherent thought in his head? No.
Probably not, because he's been smoking a lot of crack.
Speaking of betting in the Kentucky Derby, if they would take a prop bet in Vegas, if I could find somebody to take it, I'd put a few grand down on Lamar Odom not getting the ESPY for Comeback Player of the Year. That ain't happening. Nobody from the Big Threes getting
a comeback
player.
Are you telling me that you don't watch the Big Three, Brad, in the summer with Ice Cube and Steven Jackson and Allen Iverson?
If there's nothing else on.
I thought it would be more entertaining than... I tried watching it, and I just, like, couldn't.
I'm guessing there's no defense being played.
I mean, it's just half court 3-on-3, so, like, you kind of, you can, it's not like you're running up and down, so people will play defense, but, like, it's just, like, I don't watch
senior tour golf unless Tom Watson is in the lead on Sunday or something. They tried a senior baseball league years ago. I'm not watching that. No.
Not watching that.
No. Sorry, Lamar.
All right, and finally, our last one of the day.
Okay.
Rick Neuheisel, who is coaching in the AAF.
Right.
He has some thoughts on why the AAF failed.
Start with enough money. At the end of the day, you got to have enough financing. The idea was brilliant, but it just didn't work out because you didn't have enough to keep it going.
Right.
You know, which was unfortunate. Not so much for the players. I think they got paid as they should have been paid, but there were a number of guys that... like video guys, equipment guys that didn't get a chance to, that had the promise of 3 years and moved their families and things like that, didn't get to finish what they started.
Okay, I thought the interesting thing was I don't feel bad for the players, and some of them didn't get paid because if you got hurt, you had no guaranteed money.
Right. There are guys who got hurt.
I thought that was an interesting, like... Yes, I thought the first part was funny because, like, just have enough money because, of course, you need money to run a football league, of course.
Right.
But I don't feel bad for the players as much.
Who was the tight end? Who was the tight end from KU that was playing in the AAF? I'm drawing a blank on his name.
I don't know.
He, I think he was on with Keatsman a couple of weeks ago and talking about, you know, he talked to guys around the league who found their bags in the hotel room lobby and they were told to get out. And they had guys who had been seriously injured, and what do they do with insurance and money and those sorts of things?
Well, I just think it was sad, too, because there was a lot of promise in terms of, like, that first week, you know, weekend when everyone was watching.
I thought it was great.
And it outdid the Thunder and the Rockets in that nightcap. But I think it was just because the Super Bowl wasn't great in terms of, like, from just a common fan perspective, and they were looking for more football because, you know, I like the prospect of it, having a developmental league for players that maybe aren't maybe ready to take that next step but still want to improve their game. But, I mean, it's just sad that it ended that way.
He did hit some good points, like the video guys, the office guys, the PR guys, because I knew, like, I did a lot of games for the women's soccer team here in town, FC Kansas City. I was around that team a lot, and their ownership was not good, and their coach decided to leave, and then things went downhill from there, and I had good friends who worked for the team that left other jobs to work for the team that were just up and out of a job. And they won two championships.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That sucks we don't have a women's team here. I'm sorry. This team was great. Had a lot of World Cup players on the team.
Yeah.
Just sucks.
Yeah, but hopefully the XFL, we'll see what the XFL does next year.
Yeah.
Bob Stoops, baby.
Well, at least the XFL is waiting. They're taking their time to get their ducks in a row. AAF
but you saw what
quick.
Vince McMahon did last time. Maybe he'll learn from his mistake.
Yes, I think it'll be a little more professional.
All right, and that concludes this edition of Bowling Bites, Brad.
Nice
so we'll keep getting after that every weekend. So as long as we're on the air.
Nice job. Good stuff there. Man, Lamar Odom.
Lamar Odom.
He needs to... does he need a vacation? Does he need...
I don't think he's fully clear, like, yet of, like, I mean, I don't, like, he's recovering from an addiction.
Right.
That has probably seriously affected his mental state.
I'm not making fun of that.
But I'm just saying, like, it just didn't sound like he had any, like, he, I don't know how to explain that. That was so far out of left field in terms of like what he actually thought was reality in terms of I don't know.
Well,
but
Juwan Howard ain't going to be the head coach of the Lakers. I'm telling you that.
No, absolutely.
Tyronn Lue is probably 99% going to be the head coach of the Lakers. Raytown, Kansas City kid, rooting for him. Got a raw deal at the end of his time in Cleveland. On that note, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll talk a little Sporting KC. Former Wizards and Sporting defender Nick Garcia is going to join us. Nick still is around the game. He does stuff for Major League Soccer. He runs Brookside Soccer down at Swope Park. So Nick will have some good stuff. It's retro night, and it's fitting that Nick is on the show. Nick Garcia is next. You're listening to Sports Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. You're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bolig is running the show. We've talked a little Chiefs and NFL with Ian Wharton. We had some Bolig bites, heard some weird stuff from Rex Hudler. And now we're going to talk a little...
What are you talking about? That was hilarious, Brad.
It was cringe-worthy hilarious? Creepy.
It was creepy, yes. odd.
Let's say odd. All right, Sporting KC, big game tonight at Children's Mercy Park, 8 o'clock, so a late kickoff. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with Nate Bucati on the call as they celebrate Cinco de Mayo and Retro Night. And I know one former player who is definitely going to be celebrating Cinco de Mayo at some point today is my friend and future co-star in, or rather, former co-star in television, one Nick Garcia. Nick, do you have your plans ready for Cinco de Mayo?
Buenos dias, amigos. Yes, you know what? I am a little fuzzy. I had a Cinco de Derby party that I was at yesterday afternoon into the wee hours, so I have already started. But I'm going to take a little bit of a break before I get to the Sporting KC game here later tonight.
Well, I was at a huge derby party last night at this fantastic house, and yeah, we put a few sawbucks on the race. And let me ask you, at the party where you were, what was the reaction when they disqualified the winner?
Well, you know, I think people were so concerned with getting a refill in their drinks that they didn't really know what was going on. But true story, my wife ended up picking the winner, and she came home with a nice purse, and not in a purse that you would wear, but. Some nice loot. So yes, sometimes, you know, ignorance is bliss, and it was amazing, right? I mean, it, probably the most controversial call, or I guess kind of review in Derby history. But yeah, unbelievable. Will definitely go down in infamy.
Well, it was crazy because this party where I was at, and we were hanging out with a bunch of friends, and it was fantastic. You know, within about 30 seconds to a minute, they put up that little graphic that said objection or something like that, and everybody's looking around like, the hell is this? Nobody knew what was going on, and then, you know, for 20 minutes, it's like, who won? Nobody knew. It was lunacy.
Well, and then what's crazy, right, and I am not a horse person by any means.
I'm not either.
But as you watch, you know, and stuff kind of goes down, people get cut off, you know, things, you know, kind of start to take form and shape. And I guess that's why you have officials, you know, mediate and observe these matches and games and things to hold people accountable. So was it right or wrong? We really still probably don't know, but it caught the eye of someone.
So your wife was smart enough or risky enough to bet on the 65-1 long shot Country House.
Well, you know what it was? She liked the name, so
that
is why she chose it. You know, and hey, you know what? I know you hear these crazy stories all the time of people winning, you know, March Madness pools and, you know, fantasy games and leagues and things like that. So it just goes to show that sometimes you don't need to know what you're doing. Sometimes it's lady luck.
You know what? Whatever works. You guys won last night. Your wife won last night. So that's terrific. And then you'll take the cool down period this morning, probably out coaching a little soccer down at Swope Park.
A little soccer, a little baseball. And like I said, you know, getting kind of recharged for the Sporting KC game tonight. It will be a late one on TV, so people who've had a long day or weekend can definitely stay at home and enjoy this one if they're not going to be out there.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Nick Garcia, former defender for the Kansas City Wizards and Sporting KC. Nick, the form for Sporting KC has not been great for the last 2 to 3 weeks. And to add to that, I'm just going to read you the injury list for today's game for Sporting KC. Matt Beisler, the captain. Roger Espinoza, who could be a captain at any given moment. Jerso Fernandez, Eric Hurtado, Jalen Lindsey, Jimmy Madronda, Rodney Wallace. All of those players are out. And then throw in Fontas and Ilya Sanchez are questionable. This does not look like a good recipe for tonight.
Well, you know, and you're missing two guys, you know, two youngsters that are away with the U-17 national team in Lucio, and I don't remember the other guy. But, yeah, I mean, this team is depleted. They are struggling. You know, Atlanta themselves are having some issues. You know, and I think if you look at, you know, how Sporting KC has started this year, it was very early. They were healthy. They had a plan down in Arizona for preseason. They, I think, fared all right in the Champions League games. But, yeah, injuries, misfortune, people away for national team duty. And, yeah, Sporting KC is struggling. But Peter Vermes, again, is a guy who has a plan. He's going to stick to the plan as best he can. And so, you know, Sporting KC needs to at least get a tie or win at home, which I think is very doable against an Atlanta team that's also struggling. You know, they're missing Al Marone, who's off to Newcastle. They've got a new coach, and Frank De Boer, a very good Dutch coach, but they're still trying to find themselves and an identity.
We're speaking with Nick Garcia, former Kansas City Wizards and Sporting KC defender. You mentioned Atlanta and their struggles. They've only scored 6 goals in 7 matches, which I believe is the worst in Major League Soccer. And Frank De Boer might be the most unpopular coach in the city of Atlanta. I mean, they were only, what, 3 to 4 games in, and fans were calling for his head already.
Yeah, well, and again, you don't have Al Marone, who's off to the EPL. Like I said, Frank De Boer has a different way that he wants these guys to play. You know, people kind of question, you know, his positioning of players. Pity Martinez, whom they picked up here in the offseason, was South America's best player in 2018. He's not in form. You know, Josef Martinez there, who's their prolific scorer, hasn't had a lot of opportunities. He hasn't, you know, kind of woken up here per se. And I'm sure Sporting KC fans don't want him to do that here at Children's Mercy Park this evening.
And for Frank De Boer, the head coach of Atlanta United, some of the fan outrage might have been the comments he made early on in the season. Let's just say he can be condescending to American soccer fans in the way we think about the game.
Yes, and I think you could spin it that way for sure. But, you know, this guy has been to World Cups. He's played in some of the biggest stages. You know, he understands European soccer or football. But, you know, we as Americans, I think, quite often want results, immediate results. He knows it's going to take some time. He's had to get used to things. You know, you have a GM there in Carlos Bocanegra, whom I know very well from my youth national team days. And Carlos is the kind of guy who's very similar to Peter in that, you know, he has a way that he wants his team to react and play and function. And quite often, again, when you have two major changes and a coach, your star player going elsewhere, and you have to kind of rebuild, it quite often takes some time. And listen, you know, we're what, a third of the way into the season, fourth of the way, you know, so there's still plenty of time for both Sporting KC and Atlanta.
And Nick, I know as a former defender, you had to be concerned with watching Sporting's last game, giving up 4 goals to a New England team that, quite frankly, isn't very good. And thankfully, Sporting was able to come back and tie. But, you know, with your captain Matt Beisler out, it causes some issues. With Ilya Sanchez banged up, that can cause some issues. But with Atlanta not scoring, maybe this is as good a time as any to have to work through some injuries and give some guys some playing time they might not normally get.
For sure. I think, again, if you want to play Atlanta, the reigning MLS champion, this is the form you want and need them to kind of be in, especially, you know, when you're all battered and bruised and, you know, not, you know, where you want and need to be. So I think this game could go either way, right? It could be very glum and dry and not many goals, or it could be for one team or even both, as we saw last week, you know, kind of a goal fest. And if you look at that New England team, they just got pumped by the Union, I think, 6-1.
Yep.
You know, when New England was here last week, MLS or the Pro Referee Association came out and said that, you know, the Johnny Russell PK shouldn't have happened. So, you know, you have your controversies in sports. You also have him here in soccer. VAR is not infallible. I think if you also look at the game for the folks that were watching yesterday afternoon, the Red Bulls game against LA, you know, that could have been another potential issue with that goal that was scored against the LA Galaxy. So a lot of craziness is going on right now. You know, referees, teams, players. So I think it's just kind of par for the course. And again, it's early off in the season.
Yeah, it seems like a disjointed start to the season. We're speaking with Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Wizards defender. Sporting KC taking on Atlanta United tonight at 8 o'clock. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, so Nick, if you're Peter Vermes, he is stressed year after year after year. This is why we have depth. This is why we have guys ready when we have injuries, and you've got a lot of them tonight. So if you're Peter Vermes, what's kind of your focus tonight? The team's a little out of form, and you're dealing with the injuries. How do you overcome both of those things?
Defense, right? I mean, defense is what is going to keep you in a game. You know, you're going to hope that, you know, you get some restarts, corners, and maybe some run of play that will be advantageous for you. But I think at the end of the day, you know, he wants his guys to go out there, whomever it is, and give their all. And he demands that. So I think his card or his hand will be a little bit handcuffed in that, you know, he may not be able to have the options in choosing and moving guys. But I guarantee you he will have those guys prepared and ready and, you know, making sure that he gets every ounce of sweat and ability out of those, starters. And if they don't perform, you know, shame on them, because this is going to be the perfect time for these guys who might not get major minutes to now have the opportunity.
All right, tonight is going to be retro night for Sporting KC at Children's Mercy Park at 8 o'clock. They're going to wear some form of a throwback rainbow design on the jersey. I know you wore some of those jerseys, and I know I have three or four of them in my closet somewhere. Do you like the rainbow throwbacks?
I like them. I don't miss the fabric, right? So for those,
it was an awful fabric.
It was unbelievable. It was kind of like wearing a burlap sack, right?
Yes.
Very, very heavy, non-breathable. You know, technology has changed, design has changed, and you know, obviously the folks there at Sporting's apparel department have done a great job year after year, season after season, kind of coming up with these, you know, retro jerseys. So yes, I do like them, and I think the fans also like them, right? I mean, it's something unique, fun, and different. Just bringing back the old school.
All right, so in the retro mode, kind of take me back to the rainbow days. You were drafted, I believe, in 2000 and won the championship your rookie year. So just I'll give you my opinion first, and then I'll ask you yours. So some of my favorite players from the early era, including yourself, because we've been friends ever since for, what, 20-something years now almost. My kids play in Brookside Soccer in your league. So I got you on the list. I got Jimmy Conrad. Obviously, I have a great time whenever I talk to Jimmy. Probably Chris Klein, Big Tones, Tony Miola, Henderson, Chris Klein. I just that was such a great era for Wizards and Sporting KC soccer. So I'll give you two questions. One, who was the best player you ever played with? And number two, who was your favorite teammate? Because they might not necessarily be the same two people.
Sure. Yeah, no. And I think you're spot on with that, right? The best guy that I've ever played with was probably Preki. And I think you could probably also say that his opponents, you know, also kind of feared him because of his left foot. I mean, this guy had an unbelievable chop, whether it was indoor or outdoor. You knew it was coming. You just didn't know when, and he was so precise with it, right? So for me, I think Preki, he was our MVP. He was a personality in the locker room. Not everybody got along with him, but, you know, at the end of the day, everyone respected him. And I would say, you know, probably best teammate that I ever had, and I'm trying not to homer this guy too much, but probably Peter Vermes, right?
Because
I was a green rookie. He had just come in from the New York Metro Stars along with Zibanejad and everybody else pretty much in 2001 when Gansler had started his reign here. And Peter, you know, much like he is now, I mean, he was a consummate professional. He was very accountable. He was there as a mentor. And, you know, he was one of these guys that could help you out. Back in the day before we had, you know, 501ks and health insurance and all these things, you know, Peter was the guy to say, hey, you know what, guys, you need to kind of put some money away, you know, start yourself a Roth. So on and off the field, Peter was probably, I think for myself and I would assume a lot of guys, kind of our go-to mentor, kind of second dad of sorts.
And he came in and was defender of the year, I believe, that 2000 yep. championship season. And he had been a forward. I mean, he was a forward in World Cup 1990, for crying out loud. So then to go back and be the best defender. And thank you for mentioning Kerry Zavagnin. God, I'm embarrassed I forgot to mention his name. He's a good friend, too, and one of my favorite guys of all time. So Davey Arnault should be okay. on that list, too.
For sure. You know, and listen, here's the deal. I think there's probably enough guys to probably have two quality teams. You know, who knows? Maybe at some point in history here, relatively soon, you know, we're going to have maybe kind of an all-star, you know, old versus, you know, young guard game. You know, I think that would be kind of fun, right, to get, you know, guys like Diego Gutierrez, Kleiner back, Chris Brown, yep. Tony Miola, Bo Shani, Alex Otinka, you know, guys that, you know, helped to establish this club versus kind of new guard, you know, with Jimmy Nielsen, Nagamura, Phil Haber, you know, Beasley, all these guys. So, again, old and new, much like Chiefs and Royals, we kind of ride off to the sunset and wish the young guys the best.
Well, that definitely I would be there for that game. Nick, final thing for you. Cinco de Mayo, you're recovering from Derby stuff yesterday, so let me give you this. I'll probably be at a house today where they'll have Dos Equis, mm-hmm. probably some Sol, yep. Pacifico, probably some Tecate. Mm-hmm. So there'll be a wide assortment. So what is your beverage of choice on Cinco de Mayo?
Oof. I used to not like margaritas until I had kids. So I probably consumed too many of those. So I would say a gold margarita with some Grand Marnier.
Okay.
And then my beer of choice would be a Modelo or Pacifico in the bottle okay. with a nice lime.
Yeah, I like the I like the Negro Modelo. That's my go-to. Hey, Nick, have a great day on this Cinco de Mayo. I know you're out coaching. You got the soccer and baseball going, and you'll take in Sporting KC tonight at 8 o'clock. I appreciate your time, as always, my friend, and have a great rest of your weekend.
All right, Brad, you do the same, and happy Cinco de Drinko.
All right. That is all right. Good friend Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Wizards defender. Runs Brookside Soccer. He does stuff for Major League Soccer, and he's out coaching today, probably down at Swope Park a little bit. And he runs that league down there. So, yeah, Cinco de Mayo. What do you think? What's your go-to, Chris?
Let's see. I don't usually go to the Mexican beers okay. usually, but if I do, I do like Corona, of course.
Right.
I do like Pacifico as well. Okay. Sol. Yeah. I haven't really had much Sol, yeah. so I can't really comment on that. But Modelo's all right. And of course, you know, margarita. I mean,
that's definite. Yeah.
I absolutely. Mean, that's like that, but
salt or no salt.
I don't really care for either's fine with me. I'm okay. not too picky. I mean, I just graduated college, so like I will drink pretty much anything. So I've kind of started to acquire that taste, but like if it's there, I will,
You're not real picky about
no,
it.
No.
Okay. All right. Good stuff from Nick Garcia. And again, Sporting KC and Atlanta United tonight at 8 o'clock, Children's Mercy Park. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And then the final whistle with Dave Borchert right after the game. So right about 10 o'clock, give or take 5 or 10 minutes, depending on when it starts. So good stuff from Nick Garcia. All right, quick time out here. And then we'll come back and wrap up hour number two and this show before we hit baseball tonight at 11 o'clock, which will be hosted by Brad Porter, yours truly. And will be produced by Chris Bowling. We're just going to keep rolling all day. Sports Sunday right into baseball tonight. You're listening to Sports Sunday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Final segment of this Cinco de Mayo edition of Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City and across the Midwest. My name is Brad Porter. Chris Bowling is running the show, just wrapped up with Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Wizards defender. It is retro night tonight at Children's Mercy Park, kickoff at 8 o'clock for Sporting KC and Atlanta United. And again, you can hear that live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with the postgame show, The Final Whistle, with Dave Borchert immediately after the game, which is always fun, especially after home games. And maybe a little more upbeat after a Cinco de Mayo Day night game at Children's Mercy Park. Should be a lot of fun. Retro jerseys. I don't know what other special events they have planned, but should be a good time. So before we get to baseball tonight here at 11 o'clock, we want to wrap up with some Chief stuff. Rookie minicamp going on at the Arrowhead practice facility this weekend. So all the draft picks, the undrafted free agents, first-year players getting their introduction to Chiefs football and Andy Reid's way of doing things, or Steve Spagnuolo's way of doing things. So let's hear from the head coach, Andy Reid. And they have, I think they have 72 players in their rookie and first-year player camp, and a lot of undrafted free agents. Andy Reid was asked why across the league there are such a high number of undrafted free agents.
I'll tell you, I mean, 50% of, and you think all the money and time that goes into the first round picks, but really 50% at one point was what ended up sticking and having a career in this thing as starters. The second highest percentage wasn't second round picks, it was free agents, college free agents. What, 22-something percent? And that lasted for how many ever years? I haven't kind of followed that too much here over the last couple of years, but that's where it was. So, and who knows? I mean, who knows why? It could be guys at smaller schools that don't get quite as much recognition. It could be the heart that's involved with elevating their and the urgency level of making a team. You know, who knows what that is? But over the years, we've had our share of them.
The highest percentage of starters in the NFL in their careers are undrafted free agents. That is stunning.
That was very surprising.
And the second highest is the second round picks. Just stunning. But that's why you do your homework. That's why Brett Veach and his scouting staff do the homework. Because when the draft is over, you still have to go get a bunch of guys. You have to drown yourself with numbers. And then you got to find the right guys. Some of your draft picks are going to stink. I heard a former coach or a scout this weekend say, yeah, there are times we get the draft, and a week later we get to rookie minicamp, and we see a guy on the field, and we're like, oh, no, this isn't going to work. So undrafted free agents, doesn't matter. You get drafted, not drafted, whatever. Go get it. Teams, there are opportunities aplenty for you guys. More from head coach Andy Reid. Of course, Steve Spagnuolo, the new defensive coordinator, was in. And there's a couple of new members of that defensive staff as well. And Andy Reid talked about how important it was for that defensive staff to gain familiarity with the new guys over this three-day rookie minicamp.
Yeah, well, it's good for all of us. So it's the first time we've been able to go offense versus defense. And, I mean, everything from setting the field up and how you practice and to the tempo that you go and how you work that and we don't repeat play. You guys have been out there. We don't repeat a lot of plays. So you got to get a lot of coaching done on the run, and that becomes important on how you do that, and you're not getting in each other's way doing it. So
yeah, and that's, you know, it's a small thing, and look, this is kind of an inside the weeds thing, but how a practice is set up, and Chris, I think, have you been out there?
I've not been out to Chiefs yet.
No. Players, they have these drills for 10 to 12 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and blow a whistle, and then you're running from one side of the field to the other. Sometimes your whole position group is together. Sometimes it's half the defense. Sometimes it's the whole defense. Sometimes it's 7-on-7. Sometimes it's 11-on-11. And you better know where you're supposed to be on the field, because that's critical to getting the most work done in the small amount of time that you have. So, small thing. Rookies got to get it done. Got to figure it out now. All right, more from Andy Reid, talking about sixth-round draft pick, running back Darwin Thompson, the kid from Utah State, and talking about the difference between he and the other running backs, because Darwin Thompson is just a little bit smaller.
Yeah, he's a little bit like Charkhandrick that way. He's not the biggest guy. Charkhandrick got a big head, but everything else was a little bit smaller, but... But he's they're about the same height there, and I'm curious. I'll be curious to see how he does. He's got the one thing you notice with him is when you put on the film, man, everything was fast. I mean, he had the burst, he had patience to the hole, but he had the speed through the hole. When he was outside, people had a hard time catching him, and then he had good hands. Now, that's at the college level, so we'll see. The one thing, and you can even see it out here is. That low center of gravity, that strength in the core area, which is so important for a running back, that balance and core area. So, and then we'll see how he picks it up. You know, we'll throw a lot at him, and that's a tough position. They got to know the pass game, the run game, blocking, all that stuff. So,
yeah, for Darwin Thompson, he's about 20 pounds lighter than Damian Williams. So he's one of the I mean, 200 pounds is not small, but by, I guess, today's NFL standards, he's smaller, but a great pass catcher out of the backfield. I won't say great. He's a good pass catcher out of the backfield. He put up big numbers at Utah State. And as Ian Wharton told us earlier in the show, Utah State, if you didn't watch him, had a pretty prolific offense. Put up some big numbers. So, by the way, thanks to Ian Wharton for coming on the show today from Bleacher Report and
Phenomenal
Scouting.
Phenomenal.
Always great. Follow him at NFL Film Study. And thanks to Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC and Wizards defender, joined us talking about Retro Night tonight at 8 o'clock. You can hear Sporting KC right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And thanks to Chris Bohlig for putting together another edition of Bohlig Bites. My name is Brad Porter. That'll do it for Sports Sunday. But we're not going anywhere. We got baseball tonight to do. We got obligations. So we're going to talk Royals baseball next and the big win last night.